Welcome to Optimal Life. I'm Dave Jeffrey, and with me today are our two lovely readers, Virginia Collins and Lynn Perrott. Firstly, you, Lynn, how have you been?
I've been quite good.
And Virginia Collins, welcome.
Hello.
Hello, how are you, Dave and Lynn and all our listeners?
First up today, you've got something on the bushfires.
On how to help in the bushfires. Yes.
Which is a very, very topical thing at the moment, isn't it? Well, welcome, and we'll hear from you right now.
Well, this comes from the Go55's website. The best way to help with the Australian bushfires, written by Sarah Halfpenny. Watching the intense blazes tearing across our country has left many of us with a sense of helplessness. We want to do more than just sit and watch it unfold on our screens. So if you're looking for ways to help out during this unprecedented crisis, here are some practical ways to pitch in. There should be something to suit everyone, no matter what strengths and skills you have. Cash donations. The overwhelming advice from charities of all types is that donations of money are the most useful. Firstly, many charities have been inundated with donated goods, and the logistics of sorting and storing these takes a lot of time, which causes problems for organisations that are already undermanned. Secondly, it puts cash directly into the hands of people who need it most and gives them autonomy over what they spend it on. Being able to choose exactly what they want and need is an important psychological step in their recovery. By donating cash, you can also spread the help to different charities. Most people will be aware of the incredible effort from Australian comedian Celeste Barber, who's initiated a fundraiser for the RFS in New South Wales that has so far received over $42 million. Celeste has assured contributors that the funds will be shared amongst many charities, including WIRES and the Red Cross. But there are many other smaller organisations that could use help, including Blaze Aid and the Shoalhaven Bat Clinic. Adopt a koala. The Port Macquarie Koala Hospital offers the chance to adopt one of these adorable animals. Your adoption helps with the rescue and treatment of sick and injured koalas and the release back to their home range where possible. It also assists with the conservation and expansion of habitat, collection of information for research relating to habitat, disease, nutrition and habits of wild koalas, and provides educational material to increase public awareness of all aspects of the koala. The cost for adoption within Australia ranges from $40 to $60 per year, and you even get a certificate with a photo of your koala on it, perfect for placing on the fridge to make you smile every day. Crafting for animals. If you're the crafty type, there's a brilliant Facebook group called Animal Rescue Craft Guild, which is 100% volunteer run and has all the patterns and tutorials you need to make exactly what your injured wildlife need to recover, as well as information about where to send them. They are members from Australian and all over the world who are sewing, making, designing and recycling everything they can get their hands on to make products that help animal rescue, as well as beds, crates, containers and support equipment to help rescuers. Check their Facebook page for updates. So that's the Animal Rescue Craft Facebook page. As a general guide, this is what they're asking for. Machine sewers, joey pouches, hanging joey pouches, bat wraps, quilts and blankets, crocheters, birds' nests, blankets, joey pouch outers, animal jumpers. Volunteer your time. Thanks to the generosity of the general public, charities and food banks have been inundated with donations of clothing, household items and long-life food. Contact your local charity and see if they need help sorting donations. Buy Australian. When you're grocery shopping, consider making as many of your purchases as possible Australian-made. The bushfires have decimated many farms, and those who are still operating will be struggling. They'll need time to get back on their feet, but they need us to continue buying their milk, cheese, grains, fruit and vegetables. Do something for the family of a firefighter. If you have a friend who's a firefighter, it could be a lovely and unexpected bonus for them and their family if you deliver a home-cooked meal or two, or offer to help with jobs around their house, or look after their children so they can take a well-earned break. Sometimes it's little gestures like these that are worth more than money. Support events and restaurants that raise funds for bushfire relief. In every state, there are concerts with appearances from well-known Australian musicians being organised that put all profits back into a variety of charities. Look up your local venues and go along with a group of friends to enjoy a night out, knowing your money is helping a worthwhile cause. In addition, restaurants and cafes around the country are chipping in. Ask around, and if you choose wisely, your morning coffee, lazy Sunday brunch, or big family celebration could contribute to aiding bushfire relief. And finally, long-term strategies. There are plenty of long-term actions we can take to help the environment and the people affected by the fires. Get busy planting native trees for birds, leaving out non-metal, preferably terracotta, water bowls with stones and sticks in them on hot days, and making sure swimming pools have climb-out points for animals. After the immediate crisis has passed, consider donating to zoos whose research may help critically endangered species survive into the future. Book lovers can buy new books to donate to schools that have burnt down to re-establish their libraries and ask how else they may assist in the reconstruction process. When it's safe to do so, take holidays or weekend trips to bushfire-affected towns. One popular suggestion has been to go with empty eskies and fill them there to buying goods and services from the towns, including a full tank of petrol, meals from cafes and food from local growers and supermarkets. Long after the fires have died down, these towns and our wildlife will need our ongoing help to rebuild and regenerate. And that was Best Ways to Help with the Australian Bushfire Crisis from Go55's website.
Are wines vegan friendly? This is an interesting article from the Newcastle Herald Summer 2019 Special Edition. We all know that wine is made from grapes, but what happens between the time they are crushed and before they splash into your glass? For vegans and vegetarians, this is becoming a much-asked question. Are wines suitable for vegans / vegetarians? The reason that all wines are not vegan or even vegetarian-friendly has to do with how wine is clarified and a process called fining. All young wines are hazy and contain tiny molecules such as proteins, tartrates, tannins, and phenolics. These are all natural and in no way harmful. However, wine drinkers like wines to be clear and bright. Most wines, if left long enough, will self-stabilize and self-fine. However, traditionally, producers have used a variety of aids called fining agents to help the process along. Fining agents help precipitate out these haze-inducing molecules. Essentially, the fining agent acts like a magnet, attracting the molecules around it. They coagulate around the fining agent, creating fewer but larger particles, which can then be more easily removed. Traditionally, the most commonly used fining agents were casein, a milk protein, albumin, egg whites, gelatin, animal protein, and isinglass, fish bladder protein. These fining agents are processing aids. They are not additives to the wine, as they are precipitated out along with haze molecules. Fining with casein and albumin is usually acceptable by most vegetarians, but all four are off-limits for vegans because tiny traces of the fining agent may be absorbed into the wine during the fining process. But there is good news. Today, many winemakers use clay-based fining agents such as bentonite, which are excellent for fining out unwanted proteins. Activated charcoal is another vegan and vegetarian-friendly agent that is also used. In addition, the move to more natural winemaking methods allowing nature to take its course, means more vegan and vegetarian-friendly wines. There was a move some years ago when winemakers chose not to fine or filter wines, leaving them to self-clarify and self-stabilize. Such wines usually mention on the label unfiltered. Apart from mentioning whether it has been fined or filtered, wine labels typically do not indicate whether the wine is suitable for vegans or vegetarians, or what fining agents were used. This creates a problem for vegans who like their wines. Always ask the question when buying a wine or visiting a cellar door. There are definitely more choices available now and more producers who label their wines as suitable for vegans.
You're listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network.
So, savvy, solo, senior travellers. If you're new to it, travelling alone later in life can seem daunting. But in many ways, the benefits of travelling as a senior solo are even greater. After a lifetime of responsibility for others, having only yourself to please can be wonderfully liberating. Luckily, with a little planning, you can mitigate the downsides of solo travel. Here are a few tips to make the most of your solo holiday. Consider an organised tour. Not confident about going it alone? Drawn to a destination but feel it's too hard? Organised tours allow you to relax and enjoy the ride. Hotels, transport, tours and flights can all be organised for you. A tour allows you to meet new people with the same interests as you. Somewhere close to home like Asia may be an option, whether you're venturing to the region for the first time or a return visitor. With groups averaging only 12 travellers and made up of couples, friends and singles, you don't need to feel the odd one out. There are companies that specialise only in single travellers. You can get the best of both worlds by joining a solo, traveller-friendly tour group. You'll have the freedom to spread your wings and also enjoy the company of like-minded travellers to share the experience with. There are also companies that specialise in women's only travel, if preferred. Start with city breaks. If the idea of group travel fills you with dread, consider easing yourself in with a city break. Easy to organise and affordable, spending a few days alone in an unfamiliar city is a perfect way to prove that you can be content in your own company. Tick off those museums and galleries you've always wanted to see. Indulge in local cuisine and culture. Watch the world go by from pavement cafes and, most importantly, allow time to just wander and follow your instincts. On the road for one. For those who enjoy jumping in their motorhome alone whenever the fancy takes them, the chance to catch up and meet other travellers along the way can be appealing. Or meet other travellers who perhaps want to hit the road but don't want to go it alone. Consider joining the Solo Traveller Network as part of the Campervan and Motorhome Club of Australia. Find accommodation that's right for you. Will you miss being around people, or are you really looking to get away from everything? If you're keen for alone time, you should look for hotels and retreats that offer privacy. If you want to meet people along the way, consider hostels and Airbnb rooms. Most hostels offer private rooms and the chance to interact with other guests in common areas. You'll automatically have something in common as you are all exploring the same town. Airbnb rooms give you the opportunity to stay with locals in their house. You can ask them for local tips and really delve into the city in a more authentic way. If you're looking for a longer stay, why not consider renting a house or apartment or even swap houses? Home exchange organisations offer you the chance to stay in locals' homes for a minimal courtesy fee and learn about your destination from those who live there. Book day tours and experiences. A great way to meet new people and interact whilst you're on holidays is to book tours. Try a French class in Paris, a street art walk in Berlin, or a cooking class in Bangkok. No matter what your interest, you can find someone around the world who shares it. Don't worry about making a good impression. The best thing about solo travel is that you can be yourself. Don't worry about what people think of you. You most likely won't see them again. Relax, be yourself. Be spontaneous. It's easy to get single tickets at the last minute for shows when you only need one seat. Sometimes you can scoop tickets at a huge discount. Try asking at the box office on the night. You'll be surprised. Take advantage of technology. If you're feeling lonely, use technology to connect with people back home. Skype, Facebook, chat, and WhatsApp allow you to do voice and video calls over Wi-Fi. Install them on your phone before you go. Cruise away. Thanks to the growing demand from solo travellers, many cruise lines, including P&O and Royal Caribbean, now offer single rooms. Cunard even has gentlemen dance hosts ready to lead single ladies on the dance floor. Active tours. If you're after an active adventure, there are hiking trips and biking tours that can be incredibly rewarding and showcase a different side to a destination. These are great for solo travellers as there's a shared sense of camaraderie as you conquer each stretch of your journey. These are run as small group tours with an average of 10 kindred spirits, so it's a great setting to form strong bonds and share incredible experiences with new friends. Most of these trips are also made up of half solos, so you won't feel alone. Active tours require a considerable level of fitness, and some rely solely on your endurance to get you from place to place. Others only do a few strenuous activities on the tour, and some are more moderate. Trips generally have a physical rating in the trip notes to take into consideration, along with the day-to-day itinerary when choosing your holiday. Be flexible. Travelling alone allows you to spend as long or as little in a destination as you wish. Remove any travel time restrictions and you'll enjoy your holiday more. One of the advantages of solo travel is that you are more likely to be able to snag that last seat on the plane or train. You're also more likely to be upgraded. Ask for help. If you're unsure of yourself, ask for help. You're more likely to attract trouble if you're standing around looking dazed. Smile, be friendly and confident, and you'll find most people are willing to help. Sometimes it's the strangers that you meet on the road that have the most impact. Travelling alone can be perfectly safe, but you may wish to consider a few extra safeguards. Find out the most up-to-date information on the areas to which you plan to travel, tips for those travelling alone, and log your travel plans just in case you come across some difficulties. Play it safe. Safety is paramount for us all, but understandably, you may feel more anxious travelling alone. Aside from the obvious precautions of keeping money out of reach and not flaunting valuables, you're old enough and wise enough to trust your gut. If you ever feel unsafe for any reason, forget being polite. Be sure to verbalise your concerns loudly, if necessary, to whoever will listen. Better to overreact than say nothing. Give your journey added purpose. No matter how glamorous or exotic a trip sounds on paper, the truth is sometimes travelling can be a little tedious. Delayed flights, missed connections, all those things. Use these times to get busy noting down your thoughts. It could be in diary form or perhaps write reviews of your experiences and contribute to sites like TripAdvisor. You could even create your own travel blog. Not only is it a fantastic way to revisit your experience long after it's over, but the process of creating it is a wonderful distraction. Exercise selfie control. We're not sure they were ever in for seniors, but selfies are so over. Be in the moment, enjoy the experience, and create lasting memories. If you want a photo with you in it, ask someone else to take it. Chances are it will be a better shot and can be all the excuse you need to start an interesting conversation. Carriage of luggage. Travelling with a lot of luggage can be challenging, and packing light is important so that you're not stuck heaving around a huge suitcase, particularly if you have mobility concerns that make this challenging. If you have difficulty carrying your luggage or are likely to pack more than you can comfortably carry, then book a tour with porterage included, or consider a cruise where you only have to unpack once and need not worry about your bag at all on the journey. Travelling with medication. If you need to travel with prescription medication, then ensure you have enough to last you for the duration of your holiday. It can be difficult and time-consuming to get scripts filled overseas, so where possible, it's advisable have enough stock with you when you head off on holidays. In saying that, some countries do limit the quantity of certain medications or restrict the entry of certain drugs, so it's always important to check the travel advice and relevant embassy guidelines prior to your travel to ensure your medicine is legal there. When travelling with medication, it's always advisable to keep it in its original packaging and have an accompanying letter from your doctor. Travel insurance. Whether you have pre-existing medical conditions or as fit as a fiddle, it's important to book travel insurance for your holiday. I'm ready, now what? There are plenty of mature solo travellers jet-setting off and adding more stamps to their passports, so why not join them? With an abundance of touring, rail, overland, hiking, bike or river cruising tours, the world is your oyster. Some travel to satisfy a curiosity, to tick off a bucket list, to explore their interests, independently to heal, to grow, to discover, to relive, to experience something new, and sometimes to find themselves all over again in a new stage of life. No matter your situation, you are not alone, even if you are travelling solo.
This is Optimal Life on the RPH Network.
Brain training really helps. This is an article from the Newcastle Herald of August 22, 2019, by Damon Cronshaw. A large-scale study has shown that brain training can help some older people keep up with those in their 20s. This research has potential for the ageing population because it shows it's possible to improve mental performance through training. Researchers in Newcastle and California used the brain training app Lumosity to examine people's ability to switch between two tasks. The app's ebb and flow game was used to assess how practice improved the performance of more than 1,000 people. Professor Frini Karinidis of the Hunter Medical Research Institute's brain program said older people performed worse on task switching than young adults. The older people also showed a slower rate of improvement with practice. However, the gap between young and old reduced with practice. The more practice, the greater the improvement, regardless of age. Professor Karinidis said the evidence showed that doing a lot of brain training can make people good at it. Some companies have made overstated claims about what their apps can do. But researchers don't yet know if brain training makes people smarter and generally better at real-world activities, like work projects or learning a language, for example. The study showed that older people who completed at least 60 brain training sessions did not reach the level of performance of younger people. However, a promising finding emerged when researchers examined older people who overpracticed at brain training. A proportion of people who did thousands of sessions did reach the level of a young person. Some people with substantial practice can reverse the age-related decline in this task, said the professor of the University of Newcastle School of Psychology. We don't know why some did and some didn't. That's the next step. The researchers from the universities of Newcastle and California now aim to examine what makes older people particularly responsive to a large amount of brain training. They also aim to determine whether such training can maintain and improve real-world skills, such as safe driving. In future, the research could aid the advance of personalised medicine in the area of cognitive decline. For example, customised programs could help people reverse the rate of decline in specific cognitive skills. It could also help people maintain the cognitive skills they have or preempt decline. At the moment, modern medicine does not have proven methods to preempt cognitive decline. And that article concerned a brain training study helping older people keep up with the 20-year-olds.
Lynn, thank you very much for that. So, is it too late for me to start the brain training? They said older people had to have like 1,000 sessions to equal a younger person's brain ability.
It seems quite a lot, doesn't it?
It does. Ladies, thank you so much for that. That's all we've got time for today. What an interesting program, though. We had the best ways to help in a bushfire. Very, very good and very topical at the moment, Virginia. And I love the one, savvy solo senior travellers. Going on your own is pretty good.
I think if you can manage to say savvy solo senior travellers, you can savvy solo.
I reckon you've got it. Oh, and vegan-friendly wine too, which is very topical again these days, isn't it? Ladies, thank you very, very much for that. We'll certainly look forward to your company again soon. Now, those of you listening, if you'd like to know more about any of the articles that we've read today, and if you'd like to know more about or suggest more or less that you'd like in the program, call us anytime here at 2RPH on Sydney 9518 8811. Lynn and Virginia, thank you so much, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again very, very soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Bye now.